to invite you to sit with what you just saw for a minute before I start to speak. Let yourself feel whatever you feel. Unitarian Universalists find wisdom and inspiration in all kinds of sources. And watching this video is wisdom and inspiration from the mouths of activists of color. I believe it's helpful and important to hear what it means to be woke, not from me, a white woman wrestling with how to stay woke in these challenging times, but from folks who call us into that work. And I was drawn by what many of these women said about awareness of the impact of the dominant culture on our siblings of color, staying with the discomfort that awareness creates in us, and letting it guide our work toward justice. I was especially drawn to Linda Sarsour's definition, where she said it's being both enraged and human at the same time. I especially noticed that these people didn't say, "This is how I'm supposed to feel and be." They're not telling me what to do, but it's what they strive for in their work. And that is really, really important to me, that people who are fighting for equity and justice for themselves and others who look like them are acknowledging that it's a shared fight, that there are multiple oppressions and we can't work on them one at a time because it's a whole culture shift that we're trying to create. And those oppressions, they often intersect, right? People who are not white and not male and not straight feel the impact of at least two varieties of unfair treatment. And it's not always easy to understand which of them have the worst impact at any given time. So you might ask, are these people really calling on us to be uncomfortable all the time, as at least one of the speakers said? Well, yeah, why not? The world is an uncomfortable place at best for so many of our human siblings. Why should I be able to go peacefully about my life without at least an awareness of that? Not only is that unfair and imbalanced, it goes against the principles of my faith. I believe that affirming and promoting the inherent worth and dignity of all means seeing the wholeness and the humanness of all of my human siblings, as well as my non-human siblings, of seeing that their lives and their histories matter, and working to make that a universal reality. Affirming and promoting justice, equity, and compassion in human relations means seeing injustice, acknowledging it, and working to end it. Affirming and promoting acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations means starting where we are. It means committing to growth. It means sharing our learnings and our discomforts in the sacred space of our presence and intention. Affirming and promoting a free and responsible search for truth and meaning means not just figuring out what spiritualities I believe in, but what is true for others and how it impacts their lives. Affirming and promoting the right of conscience and the democratic process means using my privileges to make change and working to make it possible for those with less privilege to also have access to the democratic process. Affirming and promoting the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all means, well, exactly that. Affirming and promoting respect for the interconnected web of all existence of which we're a part means seeing and acknowledging not just the things I feel, but the harm I do and the suffering I don't have to see. and working to bring harmony and balance. So when we say that UU congregations covenant to affirm and promote these principles, what we're saying is that we do all of this together, all of this work to become and stay woke with our shared experiences and our shared learnings as our guide and each other as support.
Our second wisdom piece comes from the Reverend Ashley Horan, the Organizing Strategy Director of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation Association. You are loved beyond belief. You are enough. You are precious. Your work and your life matter, and you are not alone. You are part of a we, a great cloud of witnesses, living and dead, who have insisted that this beautiful broken world of ours is a blessing worthy of both deep gratitude and fierce protection. Our ancestors and our descendants are beckoning us, compelling us onward towards greater connection, greater compassion, greater commitment to one another and to the earth. Together, we are resilient and resourceful enough to say yes to that call, to make it our life's work in a thousand different ways, knowing that we can do no other than bind ourselves more tightly together and throw ourselves into the holy work of showing up again and again to be part of building that world of which we dream, but which we have not yet seen.
Thank you, Eva. Deep gratitude and fierce protection. And that's why it's important to do it together with our principles and our shared experiences as guides. I've been working on developing that resilience that Ashley wrote about pretty much since seminary. And learning that comes back to me again and again and again. The learning, sorry, that comes back to me again and again is that we need each other to share our stories, to hold each other when the work is hard, when we're deeply uncomfortable, to step in and out, knowing that collectively we've got this. It's in that spirit that I want to share a story or two about where I was last week. I spent spring break with my teenager in New Orleans. I've been to the city at least half a dozen times now, and I've had a different experience every time, all of them amazing. And you have to understand, I don't like cities. And I love this city. So the first few times were about partying on Bourbon Street, about looking at the pretty sights, about eating good food, about seeing great musicians. Then I went to a conference with the UU Allies for Racial Equity to engage in some service and learning work in the city, which was before Katrina. And then I got to go to a UUA General Assembly that was after Katrina. And the feel in the city was just so different. And I'm both grateful and moved to protect, as Ashley says, what is happening there in terms of resilience. So I was a different person during each of those visits, starting with oblivious privileged white girl, and then slowly being in different levels of awake to difference, to oppression, to the inequity of the impact of that hurricane and so many other things. So sharing this city with my teenager last week was amazing because she is awake and talking about it. And we intentionally spent much of our walking explorations in neighborhoods where we were the only white folks around. We stayed at an Airbnb in a mixed race working class neighborhood, and we visited places important to the history and current lives of Black people, including an art cooperative run by Black artists. And one day soon, I will show you the beauty that I photographed in that place. And we visited two plantations. We visited Oak Alley, where the tour focuses on the big house and its white occupants. And we visited the Whitney Plantation, which is entirely dedicated to the experience of the enslaved people at that location and throughout Louisiana. There was lots of discomfort, lots of things to talk about with my kid, lots of things we still have to talk about. And I'm really grateful to be able to say that I no longer resent that discomfort, right? Which implies that once I did, for sure. We don't want to be uncomfortable, but I'm able to welcome it at least a bit and what it can teach me. So I want to share with you one of the uncomfortable experiences in the hope that my discomfort might offer a little bit of the awakening that I experienced in the time. One of the exhibits at the Oak Alley Plantation, and you know, while the tour focuses on the big house, you know, the tour that you pay for, you get to also wander the grounds. And if you feel like it, you can go look at the cabins that the enslaved people lived in. And you can read a little bit about some of the individual people that lived there. Much of the cabins are set up with displays about the life, the clothing, the experience of planting and harvesting sugarcane and tending the gardens, and being called to the big house to do the bidding of the masters. And we spent some time there. One of those exhibits was a table with some information about the punishment of runaway slaves. And on that table, kind of tied to it, but you could pick it up and hold it and feel it, was a pair of shackles. Metal, clammy, heavy, with a big chain holding them together. I have known in my head, and a little bit inside, that tools like that were used on people. But I had never touched one, seen one, allowed it to weigh in my hand and on my heart. Next to that table was a wall that held some information about the animals used to do the chores, do the jobs. There was a wooden yoke for oxen. And there was a, I don't know what the material was, but there was also one of these yokes that that you use on workhorses, which was cushioned with leather. The slaves got metal, the oxen got wood, the horses got leather cushions. I think this trip might be a whole sermon. Awakening is work. I felt what you are feeling right now and still feel it. My child, my teenager, turned 16 during this trip, feels what you feel. It's work. It requires that we make ourselves vulnerable to what is presented us in painful ways. The pain of others, pain they experienced in history or experience now for no reason other than difference. Pain that those of us who are white have mostly unintentionally caused. The audio tour at the Whitney Plantation ended with these words. I don't want us ever to forget, as we talk about slavery, which is such an important history, those problems and those inequities did not stop in 1865 when the 13th Amendment ended legal slavery in this country. That there are many, many legacies that we have inherited from the system of slavery that are ongoing. It continued, If you leave the plantation feeling guilty or angry, that means I have failed in my mission. Because this museum is about educating people about the past. It's a painful past, but we cannot hide history. Hidden history hurts. I was really grateful for that wrap up because it gave me a place to start a conversation with my teenager, right? And to say, how do you feel? And to hear her say, I'm furious. And I said, yeah, that's the first step. And because it is work, we explore together. I'm very glad not to have gone there by myself. Last week's service was about awakening to wonder, right? Noticing, becoming aware of our very real physical connection with everything else in the universe, that we're all made from the same stuff, stardust and water. This week is about awakening to injustice. If we're connected with everything else, then we're also connected with everyone else. And even if we're all made of the same stuff, we are not all the same. That lesson was one we needed to learn in the civil rights era, right? That we're all human and equal and same. It was the only way for the leaders of that movement to help us develop empathy. Now it's time to unlearn that lesson and learn to acknowledge difference, learn to see difference and the impacts it has, and still understand that we all need the same things to thrive. Being woke and making justice requires that we awaken to wonder. Learning to pay attention to the ordinary and the extraordinary, to our own selves, learning to pay attention to who we are and what we need, and learning to pay attention to difference, to the harms experienced by others and what we all need to help heal that harm. Being woke requires that awareness and the compassion born out of these practices of paying attention, right? So it's not just the act of paying attention, but doing it as a practice. Our individual spiritual practices, of course, they help us with that work, but it's our religious communities. It's this congregation and our association and other faith traditions that call us to do that work in a sacred way, to push us, to prod us to our own best selves. So in that spirit, I close with words from the Reverend John Alu Johnstone, this congregation's first minister. John Alu wrote, "Religious congregations help to change us by helping us know who we are. Not at a surface level, you're an American, a retiree, a teacher, an attorney. Or even at the deeper levels where we sometimes find ourselves. You're a dad, a lesbian, an artist, a friend. But at the deepest, most profound levels, at the place we are connected to, our root in our souls. You are a reflection of the divine. You are Buddha. You are Christ. You are one with the spirit that infuses all that is good and holy in the world. We want our religious congregations to call us to that which is holy, to push and prod us to our own best selves. May it be so, and may we be so."